Good morning and welcome to worship. We're glad to see each and every one of you here this morning. I know you hear this rustle and bustle behind me, and that's because we have been doing Vacation Bible School, and they wanted to come and lead worship with you this morning and show you what we had been learning. I want to show you. We've been learning all about the fruits of the Spirit. Can you all help me say our theme verse for the day? You ready? Okay. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against these things, there is no law. And that is from Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23. Again, welcome. We are glad that you are here this morning. Let us worship together.
Let's stand up. Stand up, stand up. Gentleness and self-control. Sometimes things don't go my way, and I have to choose what to do or say. Or turn my frown upside down. I make a better choice to show. Oh, the fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness and self-control, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness and self-control. Yay, all right.
Joy first. Joy is the excitement in what you love and the happiness in what you do. For example, what brings me joy is spending time with friends and family.
Peace is my word. For me, peace means like when you're calm and you're not arguing and you're just having like a cool time. And when I feel peaceful, it's like if I just read a book in my room, it like if I'm mad, it totally calms me down. And when I see peace in the community, is if you go to like a restaurant, there will be people like laughing, and you know they're having a good time and they're being peaceful.
Thank you.
I like to dance. I like to sing. I like to clap. I like to shout. I like to shout. I like to shout.
Y'all sit down, okay?
Good morning, everybody. My name is Joelle, and today we're going to talk about patience. Patience is like when you're waiting for something. You have to be patient when you are waiting for your parents to give you a gift for your birthday. Another example is when you are waiting to go to a party with your parents. Being patient is kind of hard, and we just have to try, and we'll get to be patient. Thank you.
Goodness is sharing. One time at school, I didn't have my snack. A friend shared with me.
Thank you.
The definition of faithfulness is the quality of being faithful, fidelity. It also means to believe in something and to stick to it and to never give it up. Proverbs 26. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? A faithful person is trustworthy and reliable. Some people make faithfulness a hallmark of their human relationships, but the faithfulness that matters most is the faithfulness we show towards God. With God's faithfulness, it is not an option we choose. God accepts us to be faithful to him, and he seeks men and women who will live so as to constantly carry out his will. We show God our faithfulness by obeying him. His heart becomes our heart, his mind, our mind, his will, our will. One cannot be faithful to God if they do as they please. We have the capacity to be faithful in our own condition. Examples are, Joseph obeyed God even when faithfulness brought him to so many obstacles. Moses was faithful in all God's houses. He obediently did all God asked him. Daniel was faithful to God. He was so faithful in his assignments that when enemies fought to overthrow him, they were unable to do so. Jesus himself is a good example of faithfulness. We can start by reading and obeying the word of God and strive to become a man or woman whom God can trust to carry out his instruction. Please let's serve God now with all our heart and obedience. God bless you.
Today I'm talking about gentleness. Gentleness is being gentle and kind to one another. Gentleness can be actions or words. For example, I need to be gentle when I'm holding my hamster so I don't squeeze her. and I should use gentle words with my sister and my friends so that I don't hurt their feelings.
Self-control to me means if someone is mean to me, I choose to respond with a kind attitude. An example of self-control is when someone says something hurtful to your feelings, you can walk away or choose to be thoughtful and patient.
Would you join me in standing? Let's sing a song together. You Are My All in All. It's hymn number 583 in your hymnal there. Let's sing this together. You are my strength. Sing with me. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God. Jesus, Lamb of God. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. And when I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God.
In the Bible, God says to love your neighbor as yourself. I think everyone is your neighbor, not the people who live next to you or the people who live around or in the same neighborhood. But everyone in the world, no matter their gender, belief, skin, race, skin color, or what job they have or are. So I interpret love to be a relationship between people whom they care about. Love is also a way that God spreads joy without people noticing. Like when our community gives to people around the world because they need help right now, and that is a way to spread love around the world.
Kindness. Kindness is when you share and help each other. An example is, one day my friend and I were walking across the road. We saw a small boy carrying a load of stones. We helped him cross the road, and that was kindness. The other day, we were walking across the road. We were walking to school in the afternoon. We were three of us. We saw two young boys not getting along. We stopped them, and that was kindness. That was kindness too. Be kind to one another.
Please pray with me. Dear God, please use these gifts your people have given to show more love in this world to all people, whether it be in this city or in another continent. Please let help others in hard situations feel your love. Amen.
Stand. When someone is afraid, When someone is afraid of things they must face, that is when a when someone is ashamed of choices they have made, that is when a friend loves. It's easy to love others when things are going good, but when the going gets tough, that is when a friend loves. A friend loves just because, that is what a friend does. A friend loves giving of themselves, they are there to help whenever trouble comes, that is when a friend loves. When someone has been hurt by hearing hurtful words, that is when a friend loves. When someone feels alone or feeling kind of low, that is when a friend loves. It's easy to love others when things are going good, but when the going gets tough, that is when a friend loves. A friend loves just because, that is what a friend does. A friend loves giving of themselves, they are there to help whenever trouble comes, that is when a friend loves. What a friend, and what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. A friend loves just because, that is what a friend does. A friend loves giving of themselves, they are there to help whenever trouble comes, that is when a friend loves. That is when a friend loves. Parents, our kids are going to come down and join you, so you might make yourself known where you are as they come down to you, okay? As you are seated there, let's sing these words here. Beautiful Savior, Lord of all nations. And sing. Beautiful Savior, Lord of all nations, Son of God and Son of man. Glory and honor, praise, adoration, now and forever. mine. Amen. Amen.
Wow, what an exciting morning to be in church and to see this wonderful sea of green. You know, in the Bible, from the Garden of Eden story early in Genesis to the story of heaven at the end of the Revelation, there are countless stories of fruit and fruitfulness and fruit bearing. And in just a moment, for a few brief moments, we want to talk about not only some of the stories in the Bible, but what it means to bear spiritual fruit, what the favorite fruit of Jesus must have been, and how fruit plays into the Lord's table as we prepare to these elements. But first, I couldn't let the morning escape without asking all of our students who are still with us to stand for just a moment. All the students who've been in Bible school, we are so glad you're here. This is part of the promise of the future. Let's give them a good hand. Thank you. And as our students are being seated, Bible school doesn't just happen. I've been a part of Bible school for years, and it takes great leadership. And April and her team, her staff of teachers, workers, and farmers have done an extraordinary job. But all of those who've worked in Bible school any day this week, if you would stand and let us recognize you for just a moment, all of our workers. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I feel right at home this morning for three reasons. First of all, I love Greystone. And second, I was raised on a farm, so this feels very comfortable. And third, I've got to tell you that as a kid growing up in church, where I was taken to church the Sunday after I was born and not allowed to miss very many Sundays in between, some of the most memorable and valuable lessons I ever learned took place in Vacation Bible School. You can make over 1,000 different things with popsicle sticks and pipe cleaners. Still, if someone to this day plays the sit-down or stand-up music, I stand at attention. But most importantly, the Bible stories and the songs that we sing that were planted deep in our heart and soul, to all of our students who are here, those are going to stay with you for years to come. You know, as a kid growing up, I didn't like vegetables, but I really liked fruit. I had an aunt that lived in Florida, and she would bring fresh fruit to us. But little did I know at that time that there were more fruits in the world than apples and oranges and peaches and pears and bananas. I've learned since then that there are over 2,000 different kinds of fruit across the globe. And nobody knows how many for sure because there are subgroups. For example, if you like bananas, there are over 1,600 different varieties of bananas. And by the way, when we talk about grapes, around the world there are over 10,000 different varieties of grapes. And grapes are a very special kind of fruit. Well, in the Garden of Eden, we find this story about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that particular fruit, which we won't spend a lot of time on, was called what? The forbidden fruit. And then you turn all the way over to the Revelation, and there's the tree, not of knowledge of good and evil, but the tree of life. And it bears more than 12 different kinds of fruit. And all in between, we have all the fruit stories. Well, this week in Bible school, we've been talking about the different kinds of fruit and fruit bearing, and today our focus is on the grapes. I think a good takeaway for all of us from Bible school and worship is that God wants to grow something good within you. From the oldest to the youngest among us, God wants to grow something good within you and within your life. But there's some valuable lessons that we can learn. First of all, to be aware that some fruit grows faster than others. There's some fruit that just sort of springs on the vine and it's ready to pick within a month, but other fruit can take 2 to 3 years to mature. Well, part of the takeaway of that is we can't compare ourselves to others and the growth rate that others have in life. That God may grow fruit in some of our friends at a faster rate than God grows fruit in us. So it's part of the imperative as followers of Jesus that we are patient as God continues to do that good work in us, confident that as the book of Ephesians says, God will bring it to full completion. We have to focus on what God is doing and what God is growing within each of us as individuals. Second is to understand that there's some fruit. Well, it grows as a single fruit. And other fruit grows as a cluster fruit. So, for example, an apple. Is it a cluster fruit or a single fruit? Well, it's a single fruit. What about an orange or a grapefruit or a lemon or even limes? Yeah, I live in Florida. We have a lemon and lime tree, and our lime tree is already loaded with limes. But it's single fruit that grows from one bloom and hangs from the tree and is ready to be picked. But there's other fruit that's cluster fruit. For example, talk about grapes for a minute. Grapes grow in a cluster. Are grapes many fruits or one fruit? Well, for the most part, we talk about grapes as a fruit, a cluster of fruit. And it's interesting that when we get to the Bible story about spiritual fruit, the image we have is of a cluster fruit. For example, God doesn't grow in us patience, but leave out goodness. God doesn't grow in us gentleness and leave out faithfulness. That they're like grapes on a vine, and they're all growing and maturing sometimes ever so slowly. In fact, it's important not only that we become patient with each other, but I'm learning even at my age, it's very important that we're faithful and patient with ourselves. Because sometime we want to be completely good and completely patient. But all of us live between those two trees, don't we? The tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life and the revelation. And there's still within us what Paul calls the deeds of the flesh. And without going too deep into that, this whole passage that many of us memorized about the spiritual fruit is Paul talking to followers of Jesus about what it means to be free and to make free choices. He says, you got a choice to make. You can live by the deeds of the flesh, hatred, evil, immorality, or you can live by the fruit of the Spirit, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and all of the parts of this great cluster of fruit. Don't get too frustrated if the fruit that God is growing in your life isn't maturing quite as fast as you like. And finally, not only are there a lot of stories about fruit in the Bible, but Jesus had a favorite story about fruit. And he talked about different fruits. He talked about the fig tree. In fact, the fig tree story is one very relevant to our time. But Jesus talked about one fruit more than he did all the others. Do you know what that fruit is? That fruit is grapes. If you examine the Gospels in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, see how many stories are connected to what must have been Jesus' favorite fruit. The wedding at Cana was ultimately a story about vintage grapes. The story about the new wineskins and the old wineskins was a story about grapes. And the story of the Last Supper, it's a story about the vintage part of grapes. And then even in the Gospel of John, when Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him or her, that person will bear much fruit. So part of how fruit grows is that we not only follow Jesus, but to use the gospel word, we abide. We saturate ourselves. We love the Bible stories. We learn the Bible songs. And we live the best we can as followers of Jesus, whether we're older or younger. Grapes are the favorite fruit of Jesus because he talks about them more than any other fruit. Grapes are the fruit Jesus was thinking about when he inspired Paul to write about spiritual fruit. When we read this story about new wineskins, we're reminded that we are like those containers that God is filling up with the wine of the Spirit to bear spiritual fruit in the overflow of our lives. Let me back up for just a moment as we prepare to receive the elements of the table and as we wrap up our little conversation about fruit. In the book of Genesis, not long after humankind was created, God created man and God created woman. And God created everything under the sun. But then while they were there in the garden in the biblical story, God had told them they could eat of every tree in the garden except for one, the tree of knowledge and good and evil. And we often say, well, sin came into the world through Adam and Eve, and in the Bible story, it did. But we've each made the same decision for there are things that we know we shouldn't do with our lives, but we do them anyway. There are places we shouldn't go, but we go there anyway. There are choices we shouldn't make, but we make them anyway. But here's the good news. If we love and follow Jesus, he offers to us the gift of forgiveness. He puts our sins away as far as the east is from the west. And as the psalmist says, he casts them in the depths of the sea. In Revelation 22, we have this picture of heaven. It's a place of promise for all people who, after this life, all who've been followers of Jesus go to this promised place called heaven. And it's more wonderful than words can describe. But when the Revelation attempts to describe that in, well, Greek poetry, it says, in the middle of that city, there are not only streets of gold and walls of jasper, but there's the river of life and the tree of life. And in the tree of life, there is no fruit forbidden. It's all within reach. In Genesis, the story of temptation. In Revelation, the story of life. God is constantly moving us. The youngest and the oldest among us, God is constantly moving us, maturing us, and growing us to be better followers of Jesus and preparing us to bear fruit with our lives. The kind of fruit, this love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. For there is no law against bearing these fruits. And this morning, I stand behind what we commonly call the communion table or the Lord's table. In just a few moments, as we share these elements, I want to invite you to some moments of silence. But as we are silent during these few moments, take a moment to pray a prayer, asking God to forgive you of your sin and to prepare you to celebrate with the gift of the bread and the fruit of the vine. Could we bow our heads and close our eyes for a few moments of silence, preparing ourselves for the communion table? And now, O God, as you have forgiven our sins, the deepest and darkest sins within each of us, help us to receive these elements with both gratitude and joy. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, if you're a guest with us, the table of the Lord is open to all who are willing to receive it. We invite all who are here, who name the name of Jesus, who love Jesus, who want to know more about Jesus, to receive these elements of the bread and the fruit of the vine. I would say a quick word of instruction. First, you'll receive a piece of bread. And if you would, hold that bread when it comes your way until everyone has been served. And then we will all take it together. And after we receive the bread, there will come this morning not a cup, but a grape, Jesus' favorite fruit, representing the fruit of the vine. It's the juice that fills the cup. And if you would take the grape and hold it till everyone has been served, we will all partake together. May I invite the deacons to prepare for serving.
As the bread is passed around, I'm going to sing some songs on the cross. I invite you to sing with me, or you might just sit there in silence. The words will be here on the screen. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross until my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I'll cherish the old rugged cross. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. And I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I will cling, and I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
According to the Gospels, not long before his own crucifixion, Jesus gathered with his disciples in the upper room. And as they gathered there for a late night meal, Jesus took the bread, and when he broke it, he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he took the cup, and after he blessed it, he shared it with his disciples. Our deacons will now serve you the grapes representing the fruit of the vine. This morning, the single grape that you hold in your hand represents for each of us here the cup of Christ. And there are two reasons it's appropriate to use this fruit for the service of communion. One, when pressed and fermented, this is preserved into timeless eternity. The fruit of the vine, representing the endless nature of the life God creates in us through Christ. But second, as a cluster fruit, they are all connected. They are all a part of one. And together, as we take these elements, part of the body of Christ, we are united and connected through our faith and commitment to follow the ways and teachings of Jesus. And Jesus took the cup and, having shared it, said, "This is my blood shed for you. Take this fruit of the vine, and as you do, do this in remembrance of me." The Bible story says that after the disciples shared the Last Supper with Jesus, they sang a hymn and went out. In just a moment, we'll share the peace of Christ with one another. But after we do, please remain standing, and Mike will lead us in a hymn, which will be our hymn of commitment. In fact, I will stand down front, and if there's a decision you would like to share, committing your life to being a follower of Jesus, uniting with this wonderful church, or bringing your prayer request or sense of calling, I'll be here to receive you and to celebrate with you when we sing together in just a few moments. Now may we stand together. May the peace of Christ be with you. May we pass the peace of Jesus Christ. Peace of 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 Christ.
Would you join us singing this hymn, 654, 654, in your hymnal? A chance for us to make our decisions this morning. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. Let's sing this together. Change my heart, O God, may I ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the potter. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you.
It has been a pleasure to worship with you today. Thank you for sharing your children with us this week. If you are looking for your preschooler, they are going to be in the fellowship hall, and those preschoolers are waiting in the church fellowship hall for their parents to come pick them up. I would encourage you, if you are a parent of a preschooler, to please pick them up. Okay? Vacation Bible School, the joy doesn't go on forever. Take your kids home. Thank you. We are so grateful that you would be here with us today. And if you are a guest, please know that we are delighted that you are here. I hope that you'll take a look in your bulletin at some of the events that we have coming up. We're getting ready for our fall season, and we're going to do Promotion Sunday, and that means a pool party. And then there's a children's retreat. So if you have older elementary school children, think about sending them to camp with us for a long weekend. We also have Trunk or Treat coming, and then Christmas is here. So if you're a guest or if you're a member, find a way to be a part of this community. It's a good place to be. I will also remind you that if you want to help, like take down and clean up, we're going to do a little bit of that right after church, but also on Tuesday. If you have some free time, you can stop by the church and we'll start tidying up and putting things away and getting ready for the next week. It's been good to worship together. I'm glad you're here. Go in peace.
We're going to go out singing, and there's some words in your guide. If you have one or nearby, you can look on with somebody. We have served one another around the table, and we're reminded as we leave that our service in the world just begins even now. So sing these words with me. Christians, let us go and serve him. Let's sing. Christians, let us go and serve him, serve the one who gives us life. Let us serve in love and power in the name of Jesus Christ. Serve in love and serve in wisdom, reaching all we know and see. Christians, let us go and serve him now and through eternity.
And now with our lives firmly planted in the fertile soil of God's love, may God send us from this place of worship to learn and grow and serve and to bear fruit, much fruit and more fruit. In Jesus' name, amen.